So in 2008, when the market crashed, we had already planted a church in one of the worst areas of Chicago, area that per capita leads the city in homicides and gangs on a lot of corners in our neighborhood, selling drugs and trying to make a living, some of those guys. But there's it's just a rough place to live. And we were in the middle of the neighborhood. You can imagine it's hard enough to get financial support, through your church congregation, through tithes and offerings. But when the crash happened, not only were we having a difficult time getting church support through tithes and offerings, but a lot of our donations from various churches around the United States had started to dry up. And it was a trend not only we were dealing with, but others were dealing with. We were seeing church plants having to close, pastors going to be bivocational, which is really hard to work in an inner city community like ours because our people need so much time and help. And so when you start working that job, you put a strain on your family, and it really strains and chokes the ministry. So that worked for a while, and then some of those pastors started to quit and not be able to continue. The construction that was coming our way, where we saw some hope of transformation happening, had completely stopped. The buildings that were being renovated were now abandoned homes, and drug dealers were dealing out of those buildings. Prostitution was taking place, and our environment was just becoming more dilapidated and more run down. And so we saw an opportunity in a very hopeless time. We saw a building that was foreclosed on, and it had been foreclosed at $400,000. And we, Lord put on our heart to maybe buy the building. And I'm thinking, I'm working all these hours. I'm, just working my hands to the bone. I think I was working at least 60 hours a week. And I'm like, I can't do it. But over time, the Lord just kept putting it on our hearts. I had some history, some background in managed property management and development. And so my brother and I decided to put a fleece out there. We told the Lord, banks have pulled their purse strings. They're not giving money to anybody. And so we're going to ask one bank, and if they say they'll finance that property, then we'll go ahead and buy it. And so we went to one bank and told them that we wanted to buy this property that had been foreclosed on, and they gave us the loan. And so we bought that building that foreclosed at $400,000. We bought it for $68,000. And then we renovated it for $100,000 all in, and got that building online with two apartments. There was a prostitution taking place in it, and got that out, cleaned it up, and made a healthy place for people in our community to live, where there wasn't a slumlord. We were able to give that environmental change, as well as it became a resource of revenue for the church and for my own support or whatever. So we saw another opportunity after that, and saw some other buildings that there was buildings that had been foreclosed on, that if we could get financing, then we would be able to continue this. So we went to some private investors, guys that were losing money in the stock market and weren't able to get financial benefits from that. And we said, look, we created an business LLC, a real estate company, and we said, we're going to do this again. And so we saw another building that was for $40,000 and bought that and renovated it and got it online. Then we went to another investor and asked if he wanted to invest in the next one. And we did another building. We did about three more with him. And then in 1 year, we did eight more buildings the next year. And then we just kept buying properties, renovating them, renting them to community members. And this became a resource, a financial resource for our community. And we got up to about 25 buildings, over 80 families that we were helping support and housing. And we started working with low-income housing agencies and different things to get people houses and apartments, and have continued to do that over the years. It is going to be hard if there's a business created that demands active work by a pastor, that demands 8 hours a day. But the real estate that we've done, I don't go to every building for 8 hours. I can not be at a building for a month, you know, not even show up, but it's creating revenue, it's creating income. And so it's something that generates funds without active work. And so there's other things that can be created to go alongside a church pastor that's a passive income in nature, like laundromats or automatic car washes, things that don't demand a high level of work and a lot of overhead, but can create a financial revenue for that pastor's income and the facility that they need to fund to do the ministry from. And so that's what's transferable, you know. It might not be a real estate opportunity everywhere, although there are many broken areas that have those opportunities. But this passive income model is very transferable. I know that I want to see something created that reproduces itself. I want to see something that I invest in that continues to bring in revenue, that I want to build something. I'm not as excited to give money to just pay a bill for somebody, although I would do that, you know. And many businessmen will give those donations as tax write-offs or whatever, just out of the goodness of their heart. But I don't believe that we're really engaging the businessman. I think we as businessmen want to be involved in missions. We just don't know how to be involved. And if we can help show businessmen that they can invest in something that would create a church that can last and be a lighthouse in a neighborhood long into the future, because we've created an economical engine that works and allows that pastor to live. And if he were to move on, hire another pastor to be there and support the facility, if we can help businessmen see that they can take urban inner cities for Christ, I think they would get all over that. You know, I get excited about it because I really think that what we've been unsuccessful with over the years, with just urban church planning, because it just doesn't make financial sense, because the tithes and offerings can't support the needs that are needed to have that ministry work. Now we have a model that makes sense if we do it this way. You know, we're always like, get your pastor, get your children's person director, your youth person, maybe a secretary, and you know, you got your team, your band. I think you need to think about your team different. I think you need to get a business person with you on your team. You need to get some people that may be good managers that can help you with the economical engine piece. I think we have to start thinking different about how we build our teams. And I think we need to also take time to grow in learning what it's like to do inner city ministry before we jump in, that we would really be able to count the cost. My house, you know, the spiritual warfare in the community is thick. I never felt such spiritual attack. We've had times my whole family has been overwhelmed with fear. Kids waking up, bad dreams, but in an extreme amount, you know, not just the normal cycle of bad dreams, but just overwhelming fear. And, you know, it gets real, you know. Those times when you're going through that, you know, can you really stay? You know, coming back from a vacation one summer, my wife, we start driving into the neighborhood, and the minute we hit the neighborhood, she just broke down in tears and just started crying, because it was, you know, just such a drastic shift from this just peaceful few weeks we had into coming back into a very stressful time in our ministry. And so you have to walk real close to the Lord, you know, and you really, it's ministry like this is going to test your theology. One night after Bible study, I come home and drop my kids off at the house and run back to the church to give some other people a ride. And as I dropped them off, there was a shooting and a bullet. I'm hearing the shooting as I'm driving off, and the bullet hits through my window, and 2 feet from all my kids and family, the bullet comes, hits our couch and into the wall. And I speed around the block and come in, and the kids are all looking at me, you know, frightened, realizing that they almost got a bullet, you know, could have hit one of them, but they were safe. And I looked at all my kids and I just said, praise God, praise God. You know, he didn't let the bullet hit you guys. And in that moment, I was overwhelmed with fear, and I'm looking at the fear in my wife's face, but I realized this moment is an opportunity to give the right perspective, that God right now is just as much in control as he was before the gunshot, after the gunshot. He is in control of all things at all times, and I needed my kids to know that God was in control and the bullet didn't hit them because God was in control of that moment. And they were all like, I said, let's praise God. Let's praise him. And so we prayed and we praised God, and the kids went to bed with this perspective. And then I walk in the kitchen as my wife's bawling, and then we pray and try to come back to the right perspective and have faith that God's in control. So ministry like this is going to test your theology. What do you really believe about God? You know, you could talk about it, but when you're living in a neighborhood like this, you're going to have to live, you know, faith in God, who is in complete control. He is sovereign.